wasteful thing to waste, my friend. But it ain't right that your conscience has to bend. There's a better way to weigh the people's will. One day we'll see the promise of democracy fulfilled. We're gonna rank our choices, 'cause there's more than two. Electoral mandate should be strong and true. It's like having a runoff on the same day. With ranked choice voting, the majority has their say.
Oh, yes, that's right. You didn't know there was a song for ranked choice voting, did you? Good morning, everyone. This is Frank Morano on 77 WABC. You're listening to The Other Side of Midnight. If you listen to this show for any length of time, you know I'm a big supporter of ranked choice voting, and I've been a big advocate for its implementation here in New York City, and I've been advocating for it for 19 years. In fact, since 2002, I have testified before six separate charter revision commissions advocating that one of them adopt ranked choice voting. And while I didn't get my way completely 2 years ago, I at least got ranked choice voting for primary elections and special elections. So there's a lot of confusion about what ranked choice voting is, about how it will work. A lot of people are concerned that some people may not understand it, or some folks may get left behind. A lot of concern about who may end up getting elected that otherwise wouldn't have gotten elected. And a few people that are listening in 26 other states at this time of the morning are wondering why we're spending so much time talking about an electoral reform that's unique to New York City. You got to keep in mind that right now the movement towards ranked choice voting is a nationwide one, and there's momentum for the implementation of ranked choice voting all around the country. So we have two experts in this regard. I am very pleased to welcome former top aide to Mayor John Lindsay and one of the best known and most effective attorneys in New York City, Sid Davidoff, who, by the way, you may recall, he's discussed ranked choice voting on our radio station before. Back in December, he was a guest on the Cats at Night program with our owner, John Catsimatidis, and John Catsimatidis introduced him in this manner.
We have another guest. We have Sid Davidoff, the famous Sid Davidoff on, and founding partner of the Davidoff, Hutcher and Citron firm, and he's chairman of the Government Relations Committee, and he's going to explain something. He's on the same side as Frank Morano, ranked choice
voting.
Voting,
yeah.
Are you there, Sid?
I am, John. Nice to hear from you. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I mean, I'm glad we're still here. We're both healthy. What the heck, you know?
Yeah, I agree. What side is Frank Morano? Wait, what side is Frank Morano on?
He's on your side. He wants ranked choice voting.
I'm against it.
Oh, you're against it. Oh, you're my man.
So for 10 seconds, Sid Davidoff and I were on the same side of this argument. But once I found out that he and I are at opposite ends of this argument, I know I have no chance of ever defeating Sid in a debate. So I brought on a real pro, Sean Dugar, who is the Education Campaign Program Director for Rank the Vote NYC, who's been doing an incredible job educating New Yorkers about what they need to know going into the primaries and going into the special election with respect to ranked choice voting. Gentlemen, good evening. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining me on the radio, Sean. Thank you so much for joining me on the radio, Sid.
Hey, Frank. Nice to speak to you.
Excited to be here.
So, Sean, this is the first, especially our listeners outside of New York City, this is the first that many of them probably have heard of ranked choice voting since you have made educating folks your thing here. What exactly is ranked choice voting? What do New Yorkers need to know? What do people listening around the country who may not be familiar with this process need to know?
So actually, a lot of your listeners outside of New York may know ranked choice voting in some form. It's used in over 50 jurisdictions across the country. So here in New York, what it means is for the upcoming primary election and for special elections, voters will have the opportunity to rank up to five of their favorite candidates for mayor, comptroller, public advocate, borough president, and city council.
All right, so we rank our choices, and then essentially if nobody gets a majority of first-choice votes, then the candidate with the least number of votes is eliminated, and that those votes then get transferred to that voter's second choice. Is that right? Is that in a nutshell?
That is it in a nutshell. If no candidate receives 50% plus one of first-choice votes, then the ranking process kicks in. And it goes as you described.
So why is that a good thing, Sean? Why not just have people vote whoever gets the most votes wins, the same way we've been voting in New York for 80 or 90 years?
Well, first, ranked choice voting isn't new to New York. Those who remember community school boards, those were a form of ranked choice voting elections. And so under the previous system, a candidate for city council could be elected with as little as 20% of the vote. That means the voice of 80% of voters was not heard in the final process, in the final say. So ranked choice voting gives voters more of a voice in the electoral process and a longer voice to ensure that the candidate that wins is the candidate with the greater community support.
Well, let me bring in Sid Davidoff. Sid, you've been pretty critical of ranked choice voting's implementation in New York City and the haste with which some people have said that it's been implemented. Now that there has been a lawsuit that has not gone anywhere, are you still urging folks to delay the implementation of ranked choice voting, or have you accepted the fact that it's going to be implemented and that people should familiarize themselves with how it's going to work?
Yeah, I've accepted it. It doesn't mean I have to like it. I'd like to ask Sean two questions, and then I have a couple of remarks to make about why I have been against it. So what is in the 50 municipalities that have ranked choice voting, what are some of the larger ones, and what's your budget to educate the public?
So the larger jurisdictions include the entire state of Maine, the entire state of Alaska, as well as places like San Francisco, Oakland, Santa Fe, New Mexico, Salt Lake City, places all across the country.
Most of those places could fit into my assembly district here. We have how many assembly districts in this city of New York? And, you talk about a population that's not diverse in almost any of those places and also very small and easy to educate. And then how much money has been appropriated to your committee? I believe it's your committee that has the appropriation from the city council to educate the public.
That is not correct. So the city council and local government have the Campaign Finance Bureau, which is running their education campaign. We are complementary to that. You also have the mayor's office doing their own public education campaign through Democracy NYC. And then you have a ton of community organizations that have joined together that are all doing education. So we like to say education is a three-legged stool. It means that government has to do education, that civics and nonprofits and community organizations have to do education, but also candidates have to do education.
And radio and shows. So we've been training why we're here.
And radio, yes, and radio. We've been training up candidates for the last year, have trained over 200 campaigns on how to talk about ranked choice voting and how to campaign under RCV. And we're seeing that paying off across the city.
Okay, so this is why I have been against it. First of all, previous to this, citywide electeds would have a runoff. If no one got 50%, the top two would have a runoff. The only time that's happened is since Ed Koch, Mario Cuomo in 1977, when there was a large primary there, that it required a runoff. No controllers had that problem, and no public advocates had that problem.
What happened in 2013? It happened in 2013 with Dan Squadron and Letitia James.
But for public advocate?
Right. I mean, you had the city taxpayers spending millions on an election that no one cared about.
Okay, now
we
get
to...
So in the last 50 years, we've had two runoffs. Now, we have, so we're educating this your many state population. We have term limits in New York City for all city electeds. There are 35 empty seats coming up this year in the city council. Four borough presidents are term limited. All three of the city, no, you shouldn't say that. The public advocate isn't. The controller, because he's relatively new. The controller, city controller and the mayor have been term limited. We have over 300 candidates running for office in the city of New York in this election. The ballots cannot be counted. Once the machines are shut and that number comes down, we have to wait for all the mail-ins to come in. And then each one of those local races and so on first has to be counted. We just went through that in Rockaway and in the city council race there. And it was one who was in the first position and the second position ended up in the first position and the second position. In the other city council special election, the individual won by more than 50%. So it's just that a system that it hasn't been broken. I don't understand. We're going to be spending. We won't know who the mayor of this city is until sometime in July, and we're going to the polls, at least the Democratic candidate for mayor, and we're going to the polls in the middle of June.
What about that,
Sean?
Is this a solution in search of a problem, Sean?
It definitely is not. You have, as was mentioned, 32 open council seats. And you have 511 candidates running for office in the city, majority of those for those 32 open seats. Under the previous system, candidates of color, women, LGBT folks would have to worry about splitting the vote and someone being elected who doesn't represent the diversity of the district that they ran in. Ranked choice voting fixes that. And it promotes women, people of color, and LGBT folks into public office. The other thing that I will note is that we've actually been doing polling, exit polling in the special elections. And what we've found is people not only understand RCV at a high rate, 95% of voters said they found the ballot easy to understand. 75% said they knew about ranked choice voting and understood it prior to going into the ballot booth. That, you know, there's kind of this misnomer that it adds on when it doesn't. The ranking process, the tally process in June will take about 30 seconds. It's simply hitting the button on a keyboard. It doesn't add any time. The time that you mentioned for that extra 2 weeks, at least 2 weeks, is state law that says that you have to allow enough time for vote by mail ballots to come in and be received before you can start counting them. And you need enough time, it's 2 weeks, before they can start counting military's overseas ballots. Ranked choice voting doesn't add any time to the counting process for the June election.
I see. So, Sid, go ahead. What did you want to say in response?
You're saying that they can begin to count the second and third votes on your choice before the mail ballots come in?
If the state law were to be amended.
What?
Well, so it's a state law situation. The state law doesn't allow the ballots to be counted for 2 weeks.
Right, that's what I said. So it is 2 weeks. What was it?
It is 2 weeks, but that would be the same without ranked choice voting. That law is the law no matter what, and it has been prior to ranked choice voting passing.
Yeah, no, that's true. But as you well know, first of all, then they first have to start. They don't push a button. They didn't push a button in Rockaway. They went through every piece of paper.
Well, that's a different process than what will have in place in June.
Well, you believe that. No, I'm not sure that that's true. I'm not sure that we're prepared for that. You know, that's what you know, and if we're not, we're really talking about a long process to count those ballots. And then there's going to be challenges. And you got to go down. And remember, you say that you have a very small sample of people who are educated, who came out for a special election and pretty much more aware. You're dealing with a much larger population who aren't in a normal a primary that may not be as aware, and they're probably not as aware of the confusion that's going to be created because the rule in Manhattan and several other boroughs, they're voting for district attorney, which doesn't have ranked choice voting, and judges do not have ranked choice voting.
What about that, Sean? And if people are just tuning in, we're talking about ranked choice voting, which is going to be in place in this year's primaries for municipal offices in June. We're talking with Sean Dugar. He's the education program director for Rank the Vote NYC, and we're talking with Sid Davidoff. He's a former top aide to Mayor John Lindsay and one of New York City's best known and most effective attorneys. Sean, does Sid have a point? I mean, they have to vote for one system for mayor, public advocate, controller, borough president, city council, and then a total different system for judicial candidates like civil court, wherever there are primaries for civil court, and then for district attorney and for local party office like district leader. Is it maybe just too complicated to have the same two different systems on the ballot in the same year?
Well, so to be clear, they're not going to be on the same ballot. They will be on separate pages and very clearly marked that one is ranked choice and one is the former system of voting. So there will be images at the top of the ranked choice ballot showing what to do and what not to do. Those images will not be there for races that are state level races. They're not local races. So judge and district attorney, as you mentioned.
Okay. Sid, what about the fact, keeping in mind that all your arguments may have some merit, and I've heard them from a number of other people, and you've certainly articulated them as well as anybody. What about the fact that New Yorkers voted close to 80% in favor of implementing ranked choice voting? Should the will of New Yorkers who voted for this just simply be ignored?
No, I think we've all accepted the fact that ranked choice voting is going to be in our future, at least our near future, until they realize it's terrible. But I just think because there are so many confusing factors this year, and the June primary for the first time in many, many years, and I believe differently than Sean as to what the public, because I'm asked this question every time I speak somewhere, I am in an audience of any kind. People are still asking the basic question about ranked choice voting. Don't understand it. Don't understand why we have it. So I just think it should have been slowly put into this rather than the way it's coming in literally 3 months. We know that whoever's, for all intents and purposes, whoever is elected in those primaries, whoever wins those primaries, are basically going to be our officials. The Republicans are not going to win any of that back.
Sean, does Sid have a point here that maybe even if New Yorkers have voted for this, that it's just being implemented too quickly and that we should have spent more time, the city should have spent more time educating voters about how this is going to work? Is there anything to what Sid is saying?
Well, I mean, the reality is any of us who have worked on campaigns, managed campaigns, worked in politics, know that voters don't start paying attention to local races 6 months out. If we're lucky, it's 2 months, but realistically, it's probably closer to a month to election day. Now, a recent poll from Channel 11 found that about 50% of African-Americans surveyed had heard about ranked choice voting. This is before the television commercials kick in. This is before radio ads kick in. This is before all of the community partners that we've been able to line up start distributing literature. This is before the full brunt of the public education campaign kicks in. So I think that's a very good starting place. And I am confident by the time we get to June 22nd, that voters in New York City will know how to rank their ballot.
But Sean, just sum up for us, if you would. Why is ranked choice voting so good? Ranked choice voting is better than the current system or the previous system because of blank. Why is it an improvement in terms of how New Yorkers will see improvements in their body politic or their elected officials?
So at its base, ranked choice voting gets rid of the flash of a candidate and forces candidates to focus on substance. It allows voters to engage on issues and creates an electorate, honestly, that is more focused on issues and more aware of issues and more actively engaged in the civic process.
Sid, why you indicated that you know, we're going to have ranked choice voting until New Yorkers realize it's terrible and get rid of it. In a nutshell, aside from the lack of education, which is one of the things we're trying to solve here on this radio show, why is ranked choice voting so terrible in your judgment?
I just think it's going to cause a great deal of confusion. And again, we've seen just from the election the other day, a couple of weeks ago in Rockaway, we won. What was the vote? 7,000 voters came to the special election on a city council seat. The number one candidate went 38%. He came in number one after the ranked choice voting were counted, and the number two candidate came in number two. No matter. So I believe, you know, the proof is in the pudding. We should have this conversation on June 23rd or sometime thereafter as to what the confusion that will go in the polling place when people start looking at all these names, hundreds of names that's going to be out there. In each area, some have 10 or 11 candidates running for these local offices. I believe there's going to be a real tie-up at the polls and a lot of confusion.
And Sean, I'll give you the last word. What do people need to know about ranked choice voting? Where can people go to learn more about how this process is going to work? And tell us about some of the things that Rank the Vote is doing.
Definitely. So I'll say people rank every single day. In this pandemic, if you're going to the grocery store or to the bodega and you want something, chances are they might be out of it because of limited supply. What's your second choice? What's your third choice? That is what ranked choice voting is. It's simply ranking your candidates in order of your preference. So I encourage people to visit us at www.rankthevotenyc.org. There we have a mock ballot that folks can play around with. We have a link to our explainer video. And we have materials in 13 different languages. So we as Rank the Vote NYC are really leading the nonprofit sector and allied organizations in ensuring that every single voter understands ranked choice voting.
Sid,
this means us working with Meals on Wheels to provide our materials in their deliveries, the Food Bank for New York, at the local farmers markets, as well as partnering with faith institutions and candidates to make sure everyone gets out the vote, gets out the message on ranked choice voting.
Sid, let me ask you this. We saw Andrew Yang doing an event with Catherine Garcia the other day having to do with one New York City application. We saw Scott Stringer accepting an endorsement from a state senator with, I believe it was Diana Morales. Mm-hmm. Does that indicate that ranked choice voting, the fact that you have opposing candidates doing events together, accepting endorsements together, it may actually be producing a new civility among candidates that heretofore hasn't been present in the hard-fought world of New York City Democratic primary politics?
I think it is an interesting nuance that the front runners would be looking for someone down the line who they figure is going to get cut off early to help them out. So I think it's interesting. You know, and I hope that I'm wrong on this. I hope that Sean is right and his group is right, that it will be no confusion, it'll be an easy thing, and people will get to it. I just, not a believer yet, and I need to see the proof is in the pudding. We'll see it on June 22nd.
That we will. Sean, you're going to have to work pretty hard to convince Sid, and hopefully we'll come back a week after the primary or 2 weeks after the primary, and Sid will join you in making the case for implementing ranked choice voting for the general election as well.
Absolutely.
Thank you both, gentlemen. I hope we can do this again soon.
Take care.
Thank you.
If you want to comment on any portion of our discussion, you're welcome to give me a call, 1-800-848-WABC. While I don't have the expertise of these two gentlemen, if you have questions, I'll do my best to answer them, 1-800-848-9222. I'm Frank Moreno. This is The Other Side of Midnight on 77 WABC. Straight ahead.